everybody. This is Maggie from the Positude Shows. Tonight's show will be a Positude podcast. And I have with me as my guest tonight, Christine Gilberti. I'm not sure if any of you have seen the YouTube videos out there regarding her husband, Joe, but I'll let Christine tell the story because I think she's able to tell it best. There are a lot of details, and it's a very long story. It goes back to about 2009, where her husband, Joe, was brought in as a contractor to do some water testing and some other things on a local farmer's property in which there was a well, and it was discovered that the water that was coming from this well was surprisingly clean in quality with a pH of something like 7.49. And because the water was so pure, agencies had, from my understanding, at least gotten involved, had approached this farmer. And basically what they wanted to do was have him develop the land. And so they needed him to take out a loan to develop the land. And then at that point, they were supposedly going to make him rich, develop his property, et cetera. But what was discovered in the course of the investigations that Joe had done was that the water on the property was so incredibly pure that it's his belief that the government tried to take this property from this gentleman because the property contained the well that had very, very beneficial healing qualities. Basically, I'm going to let Christine tell her story and what she and her family have gone through, and we'll take it from there. I know that there was another reporter. He's got several YouTube videos out there that tried to help the family. His name is Timothy Holmseth. You can go to YouTube and research some of his videos. And also, it's under Christine Gilberti. You can look at her YouTube station that has many, many videos of her husband, Joe, explaining in further detail some of the struggles that they've had to go through. In fact, Joe is now incarcerated as a result of his findings. So with that, I'd like to say hello to Christine. How are you tonight, Christine? Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for taking me on. I appreciate it.
Basically, I came across this whole thing by accident. In all truth, I was on a friend of mine's Facebook who does a lot of truth shows and things like that. And somebody somewhere had just posted up a link to a website that had your husband's name on it. And she said, could you please interview this guy? He needs some exposure. He needs some help. So I private messaged my buddy Matt and I said, is it something you'd be interested in doing? Because if not, I would be interested in talking to the family and seeing, you know, if there's a story there even to present. And he's like, absolutely not. Go for it. That's why I left it up on my wall. So it was at that point that I contacted Christine, and she was very anxious to be able to share some of the information with me in regards to, as I said earlier, her husband's struggles, her family's struggles, and the saga that's been ongoing since 2009. So Christine, how would you like to start this? I mean, what was the beginning of your story? What happened at the very beginning that brought Joe into this? How did he discover this well?
He was actually hired by a group that was with the farmer, and they were going to do like a fly-in community and a mitigation bank and all this stuff to develop the land and bring the farmer some income. And my husband took on the mining permit aspect of it and basically got the permit rather quickly. And the group told him to slow down, that he was going too fast. And they gave him more work to do. So my husband took on the actual development of the underground for the fly-in community and the neighborhoods that they were going to build. And anyway, he was billing the property and they didn't come and pay him. So he ended up having to lien the property. And the group...
I'm sorry, we lost you there for a minute. We've gotten you back. I'm sorry. Go ahead and continue, please.
Okay, so he had to lien the farmer's property in order to get paid because we were close to losing our home. We lived in Gateway at the time and the property was in Sarasota. And when he put a lien on the property, the group that the farmer was involved with got really distraught. They called my husband. They said, release that lien right now. We'll give you partial payment to what we owe you, but you get rid of that lien. And my husband's like, no, I want to meet the owner of the property. I want to find out what his intentions are. And they tried everything to make sure my husband didn't meet him. They told us that he was crazy and it if we came on the property, he'd blow us away with his gun and just made it very uncomfortable. And my husband said he wanted to meet him anyway. They ended up meeting and they clicked. And the farmer said, for some reason, I feel very comfortable with you. I feel like you're a genuine person. I'm not sure what I've gotten myself into, but I feel like these people are wolves around me. And my husband's like, well, I'm here to help. I don't want your land. I wanted to get paid for my services, but let's, you know, we'll figure out something else, another avenue if this group is going to fail, which they did. So they put like a judgment or tried to put some sort of default on his property. So then another group came in and they tried to get him into a loan and all these attacks on the farmer's land. And my husband kind of just sheltered it and did anything he could to protect him so he didn't lose his property. He actually went into Southwest Florida Water Management District and had a meeting with them. And he thought the people in the office were acting strange. And can you still hear me?
I can. Oh, okay. You're sounding okay. Nothing clear.
Okay. And at that meeting, one of the guys for Southwest Florida Water Management District was acting strange and he was sweating really bad. And he brought up one of the wells on the property and he said, are you going to keep this permit active? And my husband's like, well, I never gave it any thought. I don't know if we're going to use it, but I guess we might as well keep it active. And he didn't really think about it, but the way the guy behaved made my husband think about it when he went home that night. And he woke up in the middle of the night and he said, you know what? I'm calling the farmer. The farmer's name is Buck. And he said, I'm calling Buck and I got to figure out why that guy had such a big deal about this well. So he called Buck and Buck said that, yes, the well was dug in 1969. And my husband said, well, how deep is that well? And he said, well, it's about 1,509 feet deep. And my husband was like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is why everybody is attacking your property. Maybe there's something significant. So sure. We tried to hire people to come out and test the water and see if, you know, it was drinkable, to see what it was. And he had a guy from West Palm Beach. And this is after we contacted so many different well companies to come out and test it, and everyone backed out on us for some reason. So he decided to call.
They refused to test the water? They wouldn't come out?
They wouldn't come out. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was when we gave the address, they were like, oh, no, we can't do that. I'm sorry. And we thought it was weird because we were calling local places, you know, that wouldn't have to drive far. So then we decided to call a guy in West Palm Beach, which was with AMPS testing. And Jim Murray was his name. And he literally told us that the emails my husband sent him were getting deleted from his screen while he was watching it. Like he was opening the email and it was getting deleted. And
wow,
he said, it was insane. And he said that he was definitely coming and he was going to test it. And we all met out there. And by the end of it, we were like amazed because he said, my husband, they found the Fountain of Youth. He was like, this is the most incredible water I've ever seen. And I've been doing this 50 years. He said, I'm just in disbelief. Your life is going to change. And he said, not necessarily in a good way. And I think he knew that my husband, the way he is, and he's ethical, that he's going to promote this water to get it out to all the people. And that's what we've been doing ever since like we found it. And my husband's been arrested multiple times and subdued. And anytime we start making progress, he gets charges put up against him again. And then they end up being dropped. But it's after much turmoil with our family. And when we discovered the water and after we had it tested, my husband notified the government agencies as an ethical engineer would and said, we have a natural resource here. I would love for you to come to the property and test it for yourself. Let's see if we can get this out to the public. And he was intervened by an Obensman, intercepted, I should say. and that Obensman told him he is no longer allowed to contact any of the government agencies, that he's only allowed to deal with him. And my husband said, no way, this needs to be out there for the people. I'll contact whoever I want. This is, it's a natural resource. It's meant to be used by the people, and it's the people's water. So, yeah, if you want to take a little break.
No, that's fine. It's a very interesting story. So your husband was basically just trying to contact government agencies to let them know that this water had very pure qualities. I'm not a chemist, but I know that in one of his YouTube videos, he said something about the pH being like 7.49. And you had mentioned before we spoke that the potassium levels, I think you said, were very high in water as well.
Yeah, the potassium, the calcium, all really good levels, and the magnesium also. So those were like the three main. After he emailed, he was arrested for cyber stalking, like mass emailing without a purpose. And he had bond of $500 per cyber stalking charge. And the victims were Greenberg Tririck, however you say it. That was the company that we hired to help us with the farmer's land because it was being attacked, and we hired them to defend the property on the foreclosure. Those three victims worked for Greenberg Tririck, and they ended up dropping all the charges, not showing up. They basically had a stake in the property themselves. We found out later that the head chief counsel, which I don't want to say his name, but he was big with Mosaic. So he was like the chief counsel for Mosaic and Mosaic Phosphate, and they were very big in play for the property. Peace River, Minnesota Water Plant, RV Griffin Reservoir. Basically, Mosaic, they had a big play for the property. So my husband's $500 cyber stalking charge went up to $300,000 after the Boston Marathon bombing. My husband had sent out an email with Governor Scott jogging in a fundraiser. And for some reason, just within that time frame, he had sent out an email about the water and everything. And the Secret Service, U.S. Marshals, they all came to our house and they ended up taking my husband, and I didn't see him for like almost 100 days. So he was
just to rewind a little bit. Mm-hmm. So your husband was accused of cyber stalking charges, and the victims were purportedly
three attorneys that we hired to defend the foreclosure on the farmer's land.
Right. So these gentlemen then supposedly brought charges against your husband for cyber stalking. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So, and the bond was originally a very small amount, and then right after the Boston Marathon bombing, then all of a sudden it jumped. Why do you suppose that happened?
I think because they were trying to make him look like he was a terrorist or something, discredit him. I'm not sure exactly why, but that was a reason to keep him locked up, and he couldn't come out and defend the property. They thought they had it in the bag and that they could, you know, just take it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned to me though earlier when you had asked for files or proof of anything that these emails had been sent from, you know, your family's computer, your husband's computer.
That's the recent charge.
Oh, okay. That's the recent one.
Yes. The other one, they were saying that they felt threatened and everything, and the judge asked them to show the threatening emails, and they never showed any threatening emails. And then after subduing my husband for close to 200 and something days on these charges, when trial came, they never showed up for trial. So, you know, your husband
was held in jail for 200 days?
No, he was held in jail for about 100 and something, and then on house arrest for the remaining. The judge let him out. His father ended up dead, and he let him out to go to the funeral, then brought him back, and then, like, shortly thereafter, let him out on a bond and on house arrest. So he wasn't allowed to, you know, leave the house, and he had restrictions on emails and phone use and everything like that. They were, making it so he couldn't communicate, basically, which made it very difficult to feed his family if he can't work. So,
sure. When the trial came about, though, nothing was ever brought. Nobody showed up. The charges were dismissed then because there wasn't any viable evidence to to accuse him of these things or to charge him. Okay.
Right. There was three charges and they were all dropped. Then there was another gentleman that filed charges on him that my husband pled guilty, and that gentleman is Carl Brooks. That one was a gentleman that was actually involved in going into our home when we weren't even home and trying, I believe he was looking for the down the hole video camera. I don't know what he was doing, but he was not a good person, and my husband pled guilty to that one because they were going to postpone the trial, which would have meant that my husband couldn't defend the property for the farmer. And my husband said, well, what if I pled guilty to this? Is it time served? And the judge is like, yeah, it would be time served. And he's like, then I'm guilty. I need to go. So he basically pled guilty on that charge, but he's going to revisit that charge because he's not guilty of that charge either. But he was not going to wait. It was another cyber-stalking charge. Another fabricated BS charge in order to keep him locked up.
And that was against the gentleman that walked into your home and was in your home violating your privacy?
Yes. He befriended my husband, acted like they were good friends, but was basically working for the other side. He was like an informant for them. Very creepy. Extremely. I have a neighbor who wrote an affidavit and basically said that every time we left our neighborhood, that she would see this guy's vehicle pull up in front of our house, and he'd exit his car and he'd be in our backyard trying to get in through the back, and numerous times. And of course, nothing was done about it. We called the news. No one does anything to help. So it was very creepy. That's all I can say. I don't know how we, as people, are not protected from things like this.
How did you know that he got into your house?
My husband was in jail the time I knew he got in my home. I went into my closet, and everything on my, that's normally up on the upper shelves of my closet, was all on the floor. And I knew someone had been in there. And I knew that someone that this man knew had a key to our house because he had walked our dog when we were away. So I knew that he probably got access through that key. So.
Okay. And when you called the authorities, nobody would come out and investigate?
Well, my husband called several times and no one did anything.
Okay. All right. So what happened after that?
Let's see. After the charges were dropped, my husband proceeded to work on his mission of getting the water out to the people. So he started presenting at all the different commission meetings and even brought lots of people and kids and submitted permits. I mean, as of today, we are in for permitting. And let's see, the last time he was at the health department 1 week. Well, he's been in jail for a month now, so it's been about a month. He was at the health department the day that he got arrested this last time. And they're holding him now for a misdemeanor charge when they have a felony charge in Hillsborough that he was supposed to go to trial on. And conveniently, they held him up here to miss his trial date. So we're going through the same pattern over and over again when we start getting close or getting any headway with anything in regards to the water. He gets picked up and subdued and nobody cares. No, they just leave him in there and no one's fighting for his rights. And they made another play for the property, and I had to basically go to my entire family and borrow money in order to save the property because someone bought all the tax deeds. And when they picked my husband up, someone called his mother's cell phone and told her she had by the end of the day, tell Joe he's got by the end of the day to pay his taxes or basically he's losing his property. And they were correct. We were about to lose everything. And my husband thought it was all in a protection mode because we have attorneys on it that made it sound that way. And that is not the case at all. So I had to come up with $17,000 in a matter of days in order to keep it from getting into someone else's hands. So he's out there fighting to get everybody this water and get all these cancer centers from opening at every corner.
Well, you said he was applying for permits and he was bringing people to town meetings. These were permits to be able to do specifically what?
To pipe the water.
Okay.
To bring it into your home, you can have the water right from your tap. So he doesn't want to bottle it. He's not trying to make money on it. It's the people's water and he's trying to get it out to the people. And that's what they're trying to stop.
All right. So it's not like he's trying to open up another, you know, Nestle Corporation where he's going to sell this, or Miracle Water, or, you know, Energy Water. He wants to pipeline it directly to the people for them to have access to it to drink for free.
That's right. Because it's unlimited amount. It's like an ocean down there. And that's what the well guy told us. He's like, it's unlimited. You could pump it at one of the highest rates you can imagine, which means my husband, once he heard that, that's when he met the Rob Stampy and asked him to come help with it. And they were designing the whole entire pipeline from Sarasota all the way to Miami. So everyone could get it to their tap.
Wow. Who is Rob Stampy?
Rob Stampy was someone that used to work for a water treatment plant, and my husband worked with him in the past. So when we discovered the readings of the water, and my husband called him and he said, Rob said, I will be there. I'll come help you with this. He was so excited. And my husband said, we'll get a room ready for you. You know, this is going to take us like 3 months to get it off the ground, but with your help, you know, it's going to be a lot easier. So I prepared a room. He was on his way to live with us, and suddenly it all changed. He uploaded a picture of him with Governor Scott taking a picture, and then wrote my husband a text saying it's all about Nestle, Joe, and then another video with Governor Scott, or another picture, and he looks very distraught in the picture, and he never showed up. Never came. We worried about him, and my husband didn't want to keep contacting him because he felt like his life was threatened by the picture. So we have a lot of questions for him now. So
basically you just let it go and just
let it go.
Okay, I see. At that point, your husband was still free, at least for the time being, right? What happened after that?
He still continued on, but he was off and on getting arrested for frivolous things. So, and ongoing, like they would last for like a year and a half to 2 years per charge, and then nothing would happen.
Was it mostly cyber stalking? Was that basically?
Yeah,
it was
that's
usually
all the charges.
Same charge, all the charges. Okay.
Yep. And then we noticed that Governor Scott changed the cyber stalking law from a misdemeanor. He upped it to a felony. So now my husband has two felony charges against him in Hillsborough, but yet he's being held in Lee and was not allowed to go to his own trial, which was supposed to be last Monday, the 23rd. So
because you mentioned having lawyers, what do your lawyers say about all that? The fact that he wasn't able to go to his felony trial, what does that mean for your husband?
The current lawyer that I have said that obviously the state attorney, state prosecutor has it out for him and that there's nothing he could do it for us. He basically took my money and has...
Are you there?
Are you still there?
Yeah, you cut out on me for a moment. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I don't know what happened.
That's okay. That was my husband calling again.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. The next one I'm going to take because I don't want to worry him.
No, that's fine.
But anyway, where were we?
I had asked what was the story with your lawyers. What did your lawyers say?
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Insofar as your husband being incarcerated locally so that he wasn't able to attend the felony trial. And what did that mean as a result for your husband?
Well, when I hired this attorney, I explained that it was very political. And I said, are you okay with that? And he said, well, what are his charges? And I said, well, his charge here is a misdemeanor. But he has two charges in Hillsborough that are felonies, and it's basically cyber stalking charges. And he said, oh, I know all about Hillsborough. No problem. And I used to work there, and I know how corrupt they are. And he goes, oh, that'll be fine. And this misdemeanor charge is nothing, and we'll get that taken care of. No, I mean, he was very confident, made me feel like, oh, this is a joke. Well, then the day in court, he says, I didn't know this was a water war, you know? So he's seeing a bigger picture now. And now he's not fighting at all. And when I went to court 3 days ago, my husband had court, and we were supposed to find out what his sentence is going to be for his misdemeanor. And the attorney looked at me and he said, what are you doing here? And I said, my husband has court today. And he says, I thought he's in Tampa. And I said, no, they've never transferred him, even though the judge in Tampa has put a writ order on him to be transferred. He demanded, basically, the judge saying he needs to be brought up here for his trial. Lee County said no, and they held him here. So he missed his trial date. And in my opinion, that's a violation of his civil rights in every way, because we were ready for trial. And my husband had to subpoena his own Google account because the charge that's against him is based on a fake email. And they wouldn't provide the email. So my husband had to subpoena his own Google to prove that it didn't come from his computer. So this is what America does, you know, to subdue an engineer that's trying to bring you clean water. This is the tactics that they do. And they send mass cops to our home. When my husband was calling the news station, they sent a mass cop over saying, why are you calling the news? I mean, it's ridiculous what they're doing to people now.
A what cop? I'm sorry.
A cop with a mask on his face.
What?
You'll see it in the video if you keep looking at my husband's videos. He videoed the whole thing. It was ridiculous. And that's what they do around here.
Are you sure it was really a police officer and not somebody disguised as a police officer? I mean,
yeah,
it was a real police officer?
He said he was a police officer and there was another one standing in the driveway with a gun. So. Yeah, I'm sure.
Wow. Was your husband successful in getting his Google account to get the information proving that the email was never sent? So you do have that documentation.
Yeah, I have that.
Okay. And so at that point, your lawyer was kind of like, I can't do anything to help you anymore?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand this. And then the judge previously revoked his bond. And my husband stood up and he said, may I speak? And the judge says, well, if you realize that I can hold this against you here and in Hillsborough County. And my husband's like, that's fine. He's like, I feel like I'm being subdued. I feel like these charges aren't accurate. I need to be out on bond. And he said, and the reason why is because I'm trying to get this water out to the people. And the judge said, that's even more of a reason I'm revoking your bond.
Wow.
Once he said that, everything got quiet. Everyone was like amazed that he even said that. And my husband looked over and he was like blown away, doesn't know what to think anymore. And then this last court hearing where they were supposed to sentence him, and the judge was totally different. He said, like, put on an act. Oh my goodness, Mr. Gilberti was never transferred. Oh my goodness, he missed his trial date. How did that happen? How did that slip through our fingers? Like, he just was amazed that Joe, my husband, was still rotting in jail and not brought up to Hillsborough. How was that mistake? So they didn't bring up the current charges against him. They were just talking about how they got to get him transferred up there and what a big mistake it was that they let him miss his trial. And like they really cared about him all of a sudden. And still, he hasn't been transferred. And that was 3 days ago.
Okay, so at that point, and that's what the judge there said, then he would, I would assume, contact the judge in the other county and explain to him that it was their mistake.
Absolutely.
That your husband would be transferred and miss the court date, right? I mean, that stands to reason, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They should immediately reset the trial date for the fastest, you know, don't let it sit anymore or release my husband and let him. I mean, this whole time he's been released for 2 years almost, this charge has been going on and he's been out on bond and all of a sudden it's revoked. It's insane what they're doing. And that was the play because we were about to lose our property. and now they didn't get it. So this was okay, all a tactic.
So how did that end up? No. So it's crazy to me. How did that judge then at that point? Why didn't you say, well, you know, I'm going to contact the judge from the other county. We're going to rectify the situation. We're going to change your court date and explain to them that I was on a mistake. He didn't address any of that day. I mean, how did it all end up?
He just sent your husband
back to jail.
He said, what we're going to do. And he looked at my attorney and he looked at me. He said, by the end of the day, I'm going to handle this myself. I'll let the attorney know when he's going to be transferred and we'll get this squared away and we'll make sure you know by the end of the day. And nothing. We didn't hear anything. My attorney doesn't even return my calls. And my husband's still in jail.
Now your attorney's not returning your phone calls?
No. He hasn't returned my phone calls since the second day after he realized that he stepped into a water war. So I don't know what to do at this point. I'm actually contacting out-of-state attorneys that I'm getting more feedback from. One gentleman told me it's a violation of your husband's civil rights. He was supposed to be at that trial. A felony supersedes a misdemeanor in any county. He's like, it's just absolutely wrong what they're doing. And he's like, you have so much civil violations that your husband is dealing with. And I mean, it's our whole family dealing with it. It's torture.
Do you mind if we just stop and address that a minute? I did see some of your husband's videos where he spoke about your children. First of all, the quality of the water that you've been ingesting from that well for 4+ years. In one of your videos, your husband was saying how the children were doing exceptionally well in school. It seemed as though school almost was effortless to them. They were doing very well in sports. And that he was very, very animated in the particular video that I'm referring to and was saying how I don't even have to sleep. I could sleep like every 3 days and I have so much energy now and this water needs to be brought to everybody. The beneficial qualities of you drinking this water for the past several years. We had talked before you started the interview about how none of you really had been sick, that there were some minor allergy problems, I think that you said. But other than that, you know, no flus, no colds, no viruses. Would you like to expound on that a little bit? And then also, if you would, not to cut you off, but go into maybe some of the things that your children have had to experience as a result of what's been going on with their dad being away so much.
We've been drinking the water as often as we can get it. We don't always have it. We stock up and then we restock up like every few months. So there are some weeks that we don't have it. And you totally notice when you're not drinking it that you feel a little more sluggish. I feel more alert. I feel like I comprehend better when I'm drinking it. And my boys both just recently got their interim reports, one last night and one showed me his today, and they both again have straight A's. They always get straight A's. So they're doing exceptionally well in school, and my oldest son is also in sports, so he's very active and doing really well in honors classes and everything. And with what he's going through with not having his dad home and dealing with every day waking up knowing your dad's not home, it's like a reminder every morning when you wake up of a loss.
I'm sure that it is. Now, before you started to adjust the water, though, on a regular basis, the children weren't doing as well in school, weren't as vibrant, the energy levels as far as yourself and your husband and your children?
They've always done pretty well in school. I'm not going to say that. But no, they definitely have more energy. But as far as they're smart and intelligent, they are disciplined. And they do their homework and they, you know, they're good kids. They're just really good kids. And water has something to do with it as far as their energy and their clarity. But I wouldn't say it's all from the water. That's not fair to say. But I'm blessed to have the children that I have and for what they're going through, how strong they are and how much they believe in what their dad is doing, and that's what makes it easier on them, that they know their dad is a really good person and that everybody else holding him is bad. So it's easier for them than if their dad was a bad person. you know, they had to deal with that. They know how genuine he is and how all he wants to do is help people. So
right, why he's in the situation that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Have they experienced any negative effects in school from the other kids, or has there been any problems with other children asking them, where's your dad? What's going on with your dad? I mean, because I don't know how big your town is, but if it were anything like this one here, you know, there's kind of a stigma that gets placed upon a family when they go through some sort of personal trauma, an arrest or, you know.
Yeah, everyone in this town knows everything. So some people look at it as it's my husband's some activist type person and taking it too far. And then there's the others that just look the other way because, you know, it's too much for them. But as far as my friend, my kids' friends, they all know, and they all know my husband, and they pray for my kids. And they say, we hope he gets home safe soon, and we hope that we can help you. A lot of my son's friends have been texting and saying, free Joe Gilberti, and sending happy videos to my boys just to keep them happy, knowing that everybody else is supportive of them.
That's amazing.
Nice. Yeah. I think the kids sometimes have a little bit more sense than the adults. The adults are repressed and afraid of saying something inappropriate, or, you know, it's sad. It's sad. Everybody's so scared to fight for their own rights. It's a sad situation, but my husband's out there trying it for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Just to interrupt you real quickly, if he beeps in again and you need to go, you go ahead and I'll hang on and we can finish this after you had your conversation with him, because I know having tried to call in twice, you're taking the time out for this interview. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I don't want to miss another call.
No,
and I know
no,
he worries.
I don't want him to worry. Yeah, and I'm sure it's not a matter of you can just pick up the phone and dial him back.
I can't.
So,
absolutely not.
No. If he tries to beep in, just know that I'll hang on for you.
Okay,
I'll just pause
I appreciate it.
And we'll continue on. You know, you could just hang up if you want to, and if the line goes dead, I'll know, and then we can just text me when you're done, and we'll continue on from there, just so that, because I don't want him to be worried about you.
Yeah, appreciate that.
No, I appreciate you're not taking his call twice. I didn't realize that was going on when the line went dead there for a few seconds, so please do that, and just text me when you're done, and we'll continue. Insofar as your children and the community in general.
Well, this last time that they came and got my husband, this was like April 3rd. My son called me and I was at work and he said, Mom, get home. They're arresting Dad. Just hearing that coming from my son, because they haven't been around all the time that they come and get my son, my husband. So this was one of the first times that they've actually witnessed him being arrested. I was actually on a bicycle because I bike to work, and I was riding my bike home and I saw an ambulance and a fire truck and a cop car. And they literally escorted my husband off the island because the traffic was so bad. They made such a scene in order, you know, to get this big hype, like he's some danger to society or something. When I got home, I actually stopped one of the police officers with my hand in front of his car in the middle of the road. And I said, they just arrested my husband. I want to see the warrant. And the cop said, who's your husband? And I said, his name is Joe Gilberti. And he smirked. And I said, are you laughing? And he said, I'm not laughing, but I was there. And I said, okay, well, where's the warrant? Why is he being arrested? And he says, well, I don't have it. We just were told to pick him up, but there's a warrant coming out of Hillsborough. And I said, and you're already here to get him? I'm like, that's kidnapping. You don't have a warrant, but you're told to come get him. So I rush home and I'm calling our bail bondsman, and she's looking it up in the computer in Hillsborough and says, I don't see a warrant on him. I see he's out on bond. I don't see any new charges. She thought it was crazy. So I started calling the police after I got home and consoled my kids. I called the police and I said, I want the arresting officer's name and the other gentleman that was here. And I want them to call me and tell me why they made such a production, and where is my husband a threat here that they had to act the way they did? Because my boys said that the cops were like banging on the door and my husband
answered him right away and said he'll come outside. And they were screaming at him when they got him outside and just shouting in his face and making it look like as if he was resisting arrest. But a neighbor told me that that was not the case, that the officer was out of control and just trying to make a scene, and that my husband was very calm. And it's just the tactics that they do. They try to make this horrible presentation. And I later found out that that same arresting officer told my husband he was going to shoot him in the head and was screaming at him at the top of his lungs, you know, and my husband's handcuffed in the back. So he said the guy was totally psycho, that we needed to file a restraining order on him so he doesn't come to our house anymore. My son and everybody that witnessed it said the same thing, that my husband went outside the door, asked to see the warrant. They wouldn't show him. And he said, well, this is kidnapping me, but he still put his hands behind his back and got, you know, the handcuffs on him. And it was after he was handcuffed that the guy was screaming in his face, like just trying to get a rise out of him, trying to make my husband fight back, I guess. I don't know. But
now, there was another instance where he was a bounty hunter, came to your house too. We have probably, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 minutes left. Can you explain that story? Now, this time, just clarify though, this past time, he was not under house arrest. He didn't have the ankle bracelet on or anything like that when they came just recently.
Right. Okay. They came to get him.
Can you rewind a little bit? I mean, because I know there's a timeline. He's been arrested so many times that, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep things kind of in order. But can we go back to that incident and how he was released?
That was on the charges in Hillsborough that were dropped. And they had him on house arrest and he had an ankle monitor on. And he wasn't allowed to do certain things because this trial wasn't over yet. And we had a bounty hunter come to our house with a battle ram, like a door ram, and basically said he was going to bust down the door if I didn't release my husband. And I asked to see his paperwork, and then I called the actual jail who was monitoring my husband, and I said, do you have a warrant on him? And they said, no. And I said, well, send police because there's a bounty hunter here at my door. And I ended up having the police show up at the house. I told them that I didn't understand why there was a bounty hunter when they're the ones monitoring my husband's ankle monitor. And they sent police over and they sat out in our driveway for 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden, they allowed the bounty hunter to take my husband. And they just stood there. And I was very uncomfortable with releasing him to this man because he looked not like he was intending to just drop him off at jail. It looked like he had a mission, and put my husband inside his vehicle with a frothing dog next to him, caged. It was a caged dog, but and
what? That's like the movies, you know.
It's insane how that the policeman allowed that to happen. Why couldn't the police say we'll take him in? Or why did they release him to this man? And
is that what happened? Did the police actually say, okay, you can take him? I mean, how did that happen?
They looked at paperwork that the guy showed him, and he's like, well, it looks legit to me. And all of a sudden, they were like, yep, you can go ahead and take him. We'll call it in. And I was screaming, and I said, no, why can't the police take him in then if he did something or violated or something? Why is this man coming? So I jumped in my dad's van, and I literally followed the bounty hunter, and he had a gentleman with him that he brought, and my husband was in the back seat, and they were trying to lose me. I literally drove over like a median in order to cut them off so that they wouldn't lose me. And they ended up stopping at another bail bondsman office. And they went inside the office, and I ran out, you know, to look in the window at my husband and make sure the dog wasn't biting him or anything. And I saw them all high-fiving and laughing and saying, oh, we owe you one big time. And so whoever this other bail bonds person was doctored up some paperwork for them so that they could bring him to jail, because I don't think they had the correct paperwork. And then he came up to me and said, I've never met a girl quite as tough as you. And I don't think many girls would be chasing a man like me around. I'm like, I'm following my husband. I'm protecting him. And basically he ended up, we followed him and they dropped him off at jail. He came and got him, and whatever tactics he did were not lawful. And I think he ended up going because I followed him and got paperwork drawn up. I think they were going to do something to him had I not followed him. So.
Okay. And then that time they took him to jail, and he was there for how long of a period of time?
I don't really recall. I got to think back how long.
Right. It was just another chapter in your saga of this long history, though, of your husband getting arrested and then released and then arrested and then released.
Yeah. It's been torturous for my family to go through back and forth. And anytime
I'm sure.
Any progress at all, anything good towards the water or permitting or council people responding or any good feedback, some sort of fake charges pop up. It's been incredible. And I'm hoping this is eye-opening to people to understand that we can't let people take our First Amendment and Second Amendment from us. It's scary to think that we're in such a police power society where you can't be doing something for the people. You have to be sheltered and do everything on their terms when I think it's abuse of power. Everyone in their positions are supposed to do what they're in their position to do, and they're not doing that. The government agencies are hiding it. It's very sad, and I'm sorry that my family has to go through all this, and I just hope that people get up and fight for it, because it's amazing water and everyone deserves to have it. And this is ridiculous that my husband and my family has to go through this.
Oh, that's what a disheartening story. But one thing that I will say is, when I was watching your husband's videos, in several of the videos, he mentioned the corruption in government, and particularly references the fact that he feels that God is with him, and that the reason that he's been able to do some of these videos, at least in between his incarceration time, he specifically mentioned, God's with me. And there was one point where I think he said he transferred his email or his phone number, and he was given the number 6,000, and he mentions the Bible and says that, God is definitely with us. He knows that we're on the right track and that these people are corrupt. And that was one thing that really struck me.
Today I was at work. This is just going to reference God. And I was at work, and my husband and his father had a song that meant the world to them. It's by the Eagles. It's Take It to the Limit. But that song,
I know it well.
At work. And I stopped and paused, and I looked up and I said, because his father's not here anymore. And I said, I hope I'm doing your son right. I hope I'm fighting hard for him. And everyone at my work knows what that song means to me. And the song ended, and I was calm, and all of a sudden, the radio station played it a second time. And I've never seen that ever happen. So they literally answered my prayer that he thinks I'm doing a good job.
Absolutely. And my prayers go with you and your entire family and your husband. And I will pray for you every single night. And I have been since we've been in initial contact.
I appreciate
and
it.
I wish you all the best for you and your family and for the strength that you need to carry on, because I really do believe that you've had some really unethical and unlawful things thrown your way. And I will continue to pray for you and wish your family all of the best, and hope that anybody that listening If they want to contact me, maggie_hart@outlook.com. If you have anybody you know that could help these people with their case, somebody in a different state, somebody who does maybe even legal work for a percentage or would be willing to volunteer their services to help this family, anything that you'd like to do, please get in touch with me and spread the word, spread this show. Share this video. It'll be up on YouTube. The show is going to air. This will be Sunday, and it'll be up on YouTube. Please take that YouTube video and share it and research. Go to Christine Gilberti on YouTube and listen to her husband's, all of his, they're pretty short, a lot of them, anywhere between 2 and 5 minutes. But listen to all of his videos, and you can pretty much see the timeline as he explains how things are transpiring. And also you can go to that reporter, Timothy Holmes, H-O-L-M-S-E-T-H. And he's got a couple of videos up there as well. And listen to those. And anything that you can do to help them, please contact me and we'll get you either through to Christine or I'll contact her directly. Or Christine, if you have any contact information that you'd like to share, please, you know, feel free to do that.
My email address is my last name, gilberti-4@hotmail.com. Anyone who wants to help or present at commission meetings with me or help with my husband's legal cases, any of that would be appreciated. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks so much for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it. And again, God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
And we'll be praying for you. Okay, so there you go, folks. That's Christine Gilberti and her story of she and her husband and the family in general's ordeal since 2009 regarding this water that they really feel needs to be released to the public because of the properties contained within the water. From listening to Joe's videos, he absolutely feels like this will help people. And that's all he's trying to do is get this out to the people so that the people can have it for free. He's not looking to make a profit on any of this. He's not looking to open up his own miraculous bottled water company. He just wants this to be available to the general public. And you have to question an authoritative structure that would prevent him from doing this and from the struggles that this family and anybody that's tried to help him has had to face. So definitely check out videos, do your own research, check out the YouTube videos, particularly that Joe has done. Draw your own conclusions here. It's not rocket science. It's pretty obvious here that some really bad things have happened to this family that aren't lawful. And it's really a shame to see in today's day and age. Write to your senators, write to your congressmen, MAGA, all your MAGA people out there. Get a hold of Trump and contact him. Maybe this family has tried to contact President Trump, but they haven't received a response. Maybe if some of you send them a tweet or something, maybe the story will be recognized and the family can get the peace that they so much deserve. And she also wanted for me to mention as an aside, she asked that I let everybody be aware that there are people that are now, as if it weren't enough that her husband is incarcerated, attacking his professional engineering license as well, trying to discredit him and make him appear as though he's insane. Well, when I listen to her story, I don't at all feel as though they're insane. I think that they're trying to do what they feel is the right thing to help people. That's my show for tonight. Thank you all for listening. As always, the music is provided by my good buddy, Pat Carr, for my shows. Please give him a check out on SoundClick, twcarrmusic.com. Buy his album, support his stuff. He's a wonderful man, and he definitely deserves the recognition. As always, I'm extremely thankful for him letting us play his music on my shows. So there you go. We'll be back next week with, I think it's another Positude podcast. But everybody have a safe week. Have a good week. And God bless you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.